welcome back. Segment number two here on the scoreboard, 844 Studio 4. That's the number. Get you into the program, part of the show, anything you'd like to talk about. Whatever. I don't care. I'm here to chat. Currently, right now, live, the NASCAR Truck Series is qualifying. As of right now, we're, I'd say probably just a little over halfway through, it looks like. It started not long ago. But I do have some results for you here. Right now, Nick Sanchez, Christian Eckes, Stuart Friesen, Kyle Busch, and Grant Enfinger. Those are your top five as of right now. And actually, it only looks like there's two more people out left to go out and qualify. And it actually has just become final. So there you go. That is your starting lineup for the Truck Series. That race is tonight. So the Texas schedule is as followed. Real quick, and then we're going to jump back into high school. Xfinity's qualifying at 6:30 tonight. Truck race is at 8:30. Tomorrow, Cup Series, 11:20 in the morning. That is when they have their qualifying session. And the Xfinity race is at 1:30. Sunday, 3:30, the Auto Trader Echo Park Automotive 400. Whew. Right here on WSIC. Catch all the action starting with coverage at 2:30. Okay, back to high school sports here. We just talked about North Iredell and their chance of, well, possibly making a push at the end of the year here and getting into the playoffs. They take on West Iredell tonight, and that's the team we're going to talk about next because they're sitting at 4-9 overall, 2-5 in their conference. Not a team that's going to be going to the playoffs this year, just kind of looking to play spoiler at this point. And they do have a chance to play spoiler against North Iredell, one of their rivals. And then they play Statesville, so maybe a chance to get two wins in a row here and a nice little feel-good rally going. Who knows? Maybe I'm off base, and if they completely win out the rest of the year, they're going to make the playoffs. But I don't think so. South Iredell is the other team in the area that has had a decent year. They started out a lot better than they've been over the past few weeks. They fall into 9-7, and they had a stretch where they lost three in a row, and they've lost four of their last seven games. So not the best stretch in the world here for South Iredell. But at 9-7, still a winning record, and 4-3 in their conference. They're not in the worst position in the world. They're on the road tonight taking on A.L. Brown, that game at 6:30. Moving along, we're going to change gears here, look at a different sport, that being women's soccer, because women's soccer is in the middle of their season right now, just like baseball is, and there's some good teams in the area. Lake Norman starting there, as we always do, they're right around 500. 6-5 right now. They have won three of their last four, and today they take on Hickory Ridge, so maybe a chance for them to get a nice run going and make a playoff push. That's what we're going to be seeing over the next few weeks, is who can get hot at the right time, right as playoffs are around the corner, and really start to build some momentum and fight for those playoff spots. They could continue that stretch tonight against Hickory Ridge. The Mooresville ladies soccer team is 8-2, 4-0 in the conference, one of the best teams, not only in the state, but nationally as well. Mooresville High School women's soccer team ranked 131st nationally, 30th in the state. So that's pretty impressive. 29 other teams in the state of North Carolina are ranked higher than them nationally. Whew! Women's soccer is competitive. Tonight they take on South Iredell at 7 o'clock. We were going to talk about South Iredell a little bit. I'll let you know they're 3-3 on the year, on a nice two-game winning streak where they got shutouts in both of those games. 3-0 victories there. Next, we have we're going up to Statesville High School. Man, Statesville has not had the best summer when it comes to their sports teams. The women's soccer team, 0-6 right now, 0-4 in the conference. Maybe a chance to get that first win this year. They're on the road tonight at East Lincoln. And East Lincoln, I'll tell you what, you don't want to mess around with them. Ranked 59th in the state, 293rd nationally. 8 wins, 1 loss, 3 draws. All 3 of those draws came in the first 6 games of the season. They went draw, win, draw, win, and draw against Lincoln Charter, Asheville, and South Point. The one against South Point was in a tournament, though, and that was very, very early in the year, part of one of the tournaments there. So they're looking pretty good, and it's going to be tough for Statesville to grind out their first win of the year, but we'll see. You never know. The North Iredale women's soccer team, they're having a decent year. They remind me of the men's baseball team, hovering around 500, currently 5-6 on the year, 2-3 in the conference, and they take on West Iredale tonight. Now, for North Iredale, same thing. If they can win 2, 3, 4 games in a row, they're going to put themselves in a really good position to make the playoffs. And if you make the dance, you have a chance. That's what we always say. For West Iredale, though, their situation is a little bit different. 3-6 on the year right now. I don't expect them to be a team to go on a run and make the playoffs. So they can, again, West Iredale's women's soccer team, just like the men's baseball team, can play spoiler against North Iredale. I'm sure they'd feel good about that as they're one of their rivals, but that's what we have going on tonight in women's soccer. So make sure you tune in and keep up with all of the local high schools, nationally ranked ones. Look, I told you, Mooresville High School, they are a good women's soccer team. I expect them to make a deep run in the playoffs. They're going to make the playoffs. That is almost a foregone conclusion. But we still got just under a month before playoffs start for baseball and for women's soccer and for lacrosse. So we'll make sure to keep you updated on all of that as we move through the remainder of the season. Backtracking to what we talked about at the beginning of this segment, and that being NASCAR. We're going to talk a little bit about the NASCAR Cup Series here and what's going on this weekend. We have a race. Yeah. Not many off weeks to start the year this year, but we have a race this weekend at Texas Motor Speedway. One of, and I know this might not be the most popular opinion, but it is an opinion had by many. One of the worst races of the year. There's no wonder as to why they lost one of their dates. It's just not an enjoyable. It's just not an enjoyable race. I talked about it this morning on Good Morning LKN when I spoke with Justin Kazepas over there. This is one of the tracks where you really have to be running faster than the guy in front of you if you're going to make a pass. And it's hard. And we heard from Ross Chastain earlier in the week about how hard it is to pass at this track. So let's bring those comments back real quick. This is Ross Chastain on the difficulty of passing at Texas.
Racetrack-wise, of course, we all wish we could do more there. I wish I could pass more. It's truly one of the hardest tracks to pass, in my opinion. So it makes, when I get a pass done, I like sometimes physically celebrate in the car on the next straightaway because I just did it. I did the you know, what I thought was impossible. Yeah, timing that out, and then as it ages, hopefully it opens up a little bit more and more.
I just can't help but shake my head. If you're NASCAR and you hear a driver say that, you know you have a problem. There's a problem there. Let's hear from another driver, one that's been struggling. Actually, you know what? We're coming up awfully close on our next commercial break. Let's go ahead and save that. Bring those comments by Kyle Busch. Look, he's had a tough season. It started out decent, and then after he lost that photo finish in Atlanta, it's been downhill since then. I picked him as the champion this year. Obviously, not a good one there. My predictions haven't been all that good recently. You know, I did a really good job with getting the 49ers in the Super Bowl, and I was close with the Ravens after they lost to the Chiefs. But since then, man, it's been really tough. Now, I haven't picked a winner for Texas this weekend, and we still got to talk about the projected finishing order brought to you by this AI thing that NASCAR has. So we'll see what they say about that. But don't go anywhere. We're going to be back. We still got a long way to go here on the scoreboard today. Still going to bring up the NHL, the MLB, because we're getting pretty close to the end of the season there. The NBA. We're getting pretty close to the end of the season. And there's a little bit of Charlotte Hornet news that I want to talk about. And then we'll get to Major League Baseball, which their season is almost a month old now already. I mean, it's only a few weeks, but still, already 162 games in a season. Whew, long year. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Scoreboard. We're back right after this.
More of Sports Director Joe Berg's The Scoreboard is coming up on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. It's The Scoreboard with your host, Sports Director Joe Berg, on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Everyone, welcome back. Second half of The Scoreboard. 844-STUDIO-4 is the phone number. Get you into the studio part of the show. Anything you'd like to talk about, we're about all-inclusiveness here on The Scoreboard. Any sport at all, we can chat about it right here. We were talking some NASCAR before we were cut off by the commercial break there. I'm going to hear from Kyle Busch. I want to bring his comments onto the program. I'll just let you hear what he says about if Texas is a place where he can get his season back on track.
Going into next week for Texas, we were pretty good there last year. We had a decent car. We were coming up through the field, getting into the top three. We pitted or we stayed out. I think we stayed out on a stop. And, I ran a couple laps in the spray, felt like it hurt my tires a little bit, and then I was crashed a couple laps later. So definitely learned from that. Don't do that. But all around, felt like if we can go back there and repeat with a similar car as we had last time, then I feel like we're a contender and we can put ourselves in position for a win there.
And you heard it. He thinks that he can compete there, and I'm pulling for him. I wish Kyle Busch was having a better season, because NASCAR, in my opinion, is better when he's having a good season. For all those years that he was a villain, not anymore, because he's not as dominant as he once was. But still, NASCAR, in my opinion, is better when Kyle Busch is running good. He is one of those personalities that I think NASCAR needs at this moment. So we'll see if he can turn it around. Ryan Blaney, let's hear from him. Last driver we're going to hear from today. Here's Ryan Blaney on the biggest challenges that Texas presents.
To me, like, what makes Texas interesting is the commitment level that the driver has to have going to that place. Your commitment level through 3 and 4 is just huge. And that, to me, is always a pretty fun aspect of that racetrack. You know, the racing side of it, out of it, okay, it's narrow, whatever, but like driving that place, very different corners, you really have to be fully on the throttle and convince yourself that this car is going to stick when you get into turn three, even though if you don't know if it's going to or not. So we'll see, but hopefully it's miraculously aged to where we've somehow been able to get 5 lanes there, but we'll find out next week.
And it's the same thing that we've been talking about for quite some time, is that track is huge. It's very wide. You can do a lot of racing there if the grooves actually worked. The problem being that the grooves, well, they don't actually work. It's very hard to to get anything but other than the one racing line to work. So you never know what's going to happen, but I don't expect the most entertaining race. I do think it's going to be just kind of not fall in line, but there is going to be a little bit of a parade aspect to it. So we'll see what happens, though. I am excited for the race. I think the Xfinity and the truck races are going to be pretty good because just the less skill that we have at the tracks for the trucks and the Xfinity drivers, it makes for a little bit more interesting races as they just don't have the car control that the Cup guys have. But that race, like I said, the Cup Series race is Sunday, 3:30, coverage beginning right here at 2:30. PRN will be on the call right here on WSIC. Okay, let's turn the page here and talk a little hockey. Over the past few days, I've been wondering what the most teams ever to get 100 points in a season is. Standings points, not how many players hit 100 points, the team as a whole, standings-wise, what's the most 100-point teams that we've ever had? I believe that may have been 2 years ago. I've been doing year by year. I couldn't find something that just had it listed out. Year by year, I've just been going through and taking a look. It looks like the 2021-2022 season produced 13 teams with 100 points. And then you had the Kings at 99, the Stars at 98, and the Predators at 97. That's a lot of teams to hit 100 points. And that's kind of where you want to be, like to be considered one of the teams that's going to make a push. You want to be close to that 100-point mark. You want to be over that, really. But we've seen teams not hit 100 points make a good run in the playoffs. It does happen. Right now, there are 10 teams in the NHL with 100 points. The New York Rangers top that list with 110. Behind them are the Dallas Stars and the Carolina Hurricanes at 107. And the Carolina Hurricanes are where we're going to turn our conversation next. Tonight, 8 o'clock, they are on the road in St. Louis taking on the Blues. And the Blues are a team that, well, they're kind of fighting for a playoff spot. I don't think that they're going to end up having enough time to overcome the deficits that they have because they're chasing the Vegas Golden Knights. And the Golden Knights have a game less played than the St. Louis Blues. So that could become a factor there, 3 points behind. But they're going to be playing for everything they have, the St. Louis Blues, as they are clinging to playoff life. For the Hurricanes, they've been clinched for a while. The only thing that they have to fight for right now is the one seed in the Metropolitan Division. And it is important to get that one seed in the division. I know people say, you know what, just make it, it doesn't matter. No, I want the home ice. Making it's great, and yes, anything can happen, but it definitely helps when you control Game 7. I know they don't always get that far, but if you get to a Game 7, having that home ice advantage is massive. So if the Hurricanes are able to win tonight, they would put themselves 1 point behind the New York Rangers, who take on the Islanders on Saturday right around noon. For Carolina, though, they're really just waiting to see who settles into that third seed in the Metro right now. It's still going to be hard for Carolina to pass the New York Rangers in the standings. Not impossible, just a little bit tough. So right now, the most likely thing that's going to happen is they are going to play the New York Islanders. Islanders were able to slightly separate themselves here as of late. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games, and they're currently on a 6-game winning streak. It's helped them to 89 points, 3 points ahead of the Pittsburgh Penguins. One more win for the Islanders, and if that win comes on Saturday, they will clinch their way into the playoffs, and the last battle for that wild card will be on. But until then, we have tonight to look forward to for the Carolina Hurricanes taking on the St. Louis Blues. I expect them to win this game, cut the lead in the Metropolitan Division to 1, and then it's a 2-game shootout to see what happens. Even a win and a loss for both of those teams, and the Rangers still win. This is why I said it's going to be really tough for Carolina to overtake the New York Rangers in the standings. They're going to need to lose on Saturday. Carolina's going to have to win out. And I don't know if they're going to look to rest on the final day of the season. If the division's still in reach, I would expect them to put their best out on the ice. But if not, you'll probably see a player or two get sat down for the final game of the season. Whoever the starting goalie is for game one is probably going to be sat down for that final game, because the worst thing that can happen to you is getting hurt days before the season goes into the playoffs. That is one of the worst things that can happen to a franchise. We're coming up on the final break of the day. When we return, we are going to get into the MLB. We're going to talk a little Masters, some NBA. There's a lot on store here, and we'll cover it all in the final segment of the show. 844-STUDIO-4. That's 844-788-3464. Give me a call. Let's chat. Don't go anywhere, though, because we do have one more segment on this Friday. You're listening to The Scoreboard. We're back after this.
This guy knows his sports, right? There's more of The Scoreboard with Joe Berg on the way on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Talk sports with Joe Berg. Call 844-STUDIO-4. It's The Scoreboard on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Scoreboard here on WSIC. Final segment of the week. We're going to try to have some fun going into the weekend. We got a lot. We got golf going on. We got NBA action, MLB action. We got this day in sports history. So stay with me. We're going to cover as much as we can in the final, about 10 minutes or so of the show today. And as always, 844-STUDIO-4 is the phone number. We're still going to take calls, even though it's the final segment. We'll take calls until the final minute. Doesn't matter to me. So get on that phone and dial me up, 844-STUDIO-4. Right now, there has been a change at the top of the Masters charts. Yes, Scottie Scheffler has taken sole possession of first place from Bryson DeChambeau. 7-under for Scottie Scheffler right now through 11 holes. Max Homa, Bryson DeChambeau both have finished their rounds for the day. Only a few more people still out there participating at the top of the charts. Obviously, as I said, Scottie Scheffler through 11. You got Matt Fitzpatrick tied for 7th at 2-under through 12 holes. And a few other players here that are sitting at 1-under that are still finishing out their rounds today. So a little bit of a change there at the top of the charts, but not surprising. Scottie Scheffler is currently the number one golfer in the world, according to the official world golf rankings. Second is Rory McIlroy, just in case you were wondering. There are some notable names that are going to be missing the cut here at the Masters. Looks like Adam Scott's going to miss the cut. Victor Hovland's going to miss the cut. Justin Rose missing the cut. Ricky Fowler. Jordan Spieth. That one very surprising. Bubba Watson. Fred Couples. And Dustin Johnson. All of those players will be missing the cut this year. It looks like John Rahm's going to be safe, the defending winner. Wyndham Clark just barely going to sneak his way in as well. If those two can finish out their rounds today without falling apart, those two are through 12 and 10 respectively. Tiger Woods, who has finished his round for the day, sits at 1 over par. He's pretty much a lock to make the cut and participate in the weekend. And hey, you never know. Anything can happen. Who knows? Maybe Tiger has a send-off type moment where he just plays lights out through the final 2 days, wins another Masters, and walks off into the sunset. Wouldn't that be something? I don't think it's going to happen, though. So we'll talk about the Masters a little bit more on Monday. I promised you, don't be surprised when I come in on Monday and I say, I didn't watch it, but I know what happened. I saw some highlights. I'm not sitting down and watching golf. Not when there's NASCAR on. Not when there's Carolina Hurricanes final few games of the regular season on. I just can't do golf. I don't know why I can't do it. Don't be upset with me. Please, I'll play golf. I don't care. We'll go out there and swing the clubs. I'm not good at it. Golf's just one of those things, man. I don't have the attention span for that. It's too slow. And the announcers talk like this as they walk up to the next hole. We're listening to grass grow today. That's what it feels like to me. Anyway, 844 Studio 4, if you want to yell at me about my golf takes, I don't care. Victor Wembanyama, we haven't talked about him all that much. The number one draft pick in the NBA this year. Here's the deal. He is having a historic first year. Currently at 21 points a game, 10 rebounds a game, 3.8 assists and 3.6 blocks per game. Here is the list of rookies with 250 blocks or more. This since blocks have become an official recognized stat in 1973. Victor Wembanyama, Alonzo Mourning, Shaquille O'Neal, David Robinson, Manu Bol, and Mark Eaton. That is the complete list. Probably Wilt Chamberlain, but that wasn't a stat when he was playing. So we'll just kind of say, and Wilt Chamberlain, because I'm assuming that he had to have had 250 blocks in his first year. And from the sounds of it, around the league, everybody thinks that he is the future of the NBA. And it's an interesting future. He's not from the United States. He's from France. He is tall. Very tall. He's not a three-point guy. He can run you over. He plays great defense. He's like, and I'm not saying skill set wise, but the way he plays and the way his stats look, he's like a miniature Shaq. We just talked about it. Shaquille O'Neal had 250 blocks in his first year. So does Victor Wembanyama. And I'm not going to say that he's the next Shaquille O'Neal. That's not what I'm trying to say. All I'm saying is keep an eye out on the NBA. Victor Wembanyama is the future, and it has been confirmed this season. Now, I don't expect the Spurs to be a bad team for long. In that list of rookies with 250 or more blocks, I mentioned David Robinson. Well, David Robinson played under Coach Popovich, and they won. They were pretty good over there. Then he got another big man, Tim Duncan. They were pretty good with Tim Duncan. And now they got another big man in Victor Wembanyama. Don't be surprised. Do not be surprised in a couple of years when the San Antonio Spurs are competing for a championship. The Charlotte Hornets have been in the news a little bit. Because there is some rumblings about a possible head coaching hire that they're going to make. And I want to make sure that I get this right. The Stockton Kings head coach, Lindsey Harding, is set to be interviewed by the Charlotte Hornets for their head coaching position. Coach Harding was the 2023-2024 G League Coach of the Year, and a source confirmed this to the Athletics. Harding would become the first ever woman to be hired as an NBA head coach if she was to get the job. Now, there are some female assistant coaches in the NBA, but none have been a head coach in the NBA. And Coach Popovich, who we just talked about, was one of the people that brought a girl onto their coaching staff for the first time. And it was only a matter of time before one was a head coach. And it's awesome. It's cool. You know, if you're allowing the men to coach the women's team, why can't you do vice versa? It's just basketball. Who cares? Anyway, not to be mean or anything. We are getting towards the end of the NBA season, and I just kind of want to let you know a little bit here as we're running out of time what the standings look like, because we are very close to play-in tournament time. The play-in tournament coming up in a few weeks. I'm sorry, next week it is going to be April 16th through the 19th. If the season were to end right now, the Celtics would be the number one team in the East. The Nuggets would be the number one team in the West. Still looking at a very interesting 9-10 play-in matchup in the West with the Warriors and the Lakers. The interesting thing about this is the Warriors and the Lakers are both 45 and 35, and those teams are the 9-10 seed in the West. The 9-10 seed in the East are the Bulls and the Hawks. Their records are 38 and 42 and 36 and 44, respectively. I'll say it again. If you have a losing record, you should not be allowed in the play-in. You should not be allowed in the playoffs because that's just embarrassing. Same for the NFL. We've seen teams with a losing record win a division before. Just boot them out or at least make them lose their home field advantage. Something. Because that's just, man, that's sad. We just talked about it with the NHL. They're having almost a record number of teams come up with 100 standing points. That's not like that in the NBA. The NBA, especially the East over the past like 15 years or so, has been terrible. The final couple of teams to make the playoffs in the East have been booty. We'll talk a little bit more about baseball on Monday. We have a whole summer to talk about baseball. It's a long baseball season. Right now, what I want to do is bring up today in sports history, because there were a few things that I thought were at least semi-notable that we could chat about. Starting with, and I got to find it because I lost my spot here, 1965. The first ever regular season Major League Baseball game at the Houston Astrodome took place. The visiting Philadelphia Phillies beat those Astros 2-0. On this day in 1961, Douglas MacArthur declined an offer to become the commissioner of baseball. That's an interesting little story right there. If anybody knows the name Douglas MacArthur, maybe you do from your history book, but he was a military man there, served as a commander of the Allied Powers. Yeah, all that stuff. He declined MLB commissioner. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And lastly, where'd it go? On this day in 1988, Frank Robinson replaced Cal Ripken as the manager of the Baltimore Orioles. That is some things that happened today in sports history. Thanks everyone for tuning in this week. Watch a lot of sports, Masters, NASCAR, whatever there is. You know there's a lot. I'll talk to you guys on Monday. Have a great weekend. I'll see you then. Bye.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Mooresville, North Charlotte.